How are you going to get a job in a changing world? Welcome to the 164th episode of Admissions Trade Talk, the podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you get to that delightful moment when you can high-five the person next to you and shout, "Yes, I'm in." And not only in, but in at the best program for you. At the Association of International Graduate Admissions Consultants Conference, which I attended in June, there were sessions where we consultants listened to admissions deans and directors speak on panels about a variety of issues. We also participated in small breakout sessions with admissions directors. I was in one breakout with Sherry Hubert, the Associate Dean of MBA Admissions at Georgetown University's McDonough School of Business, in which she started talking about the evolving job search process and how it has changed in the last several years, with more MBAs getting jobs through non-traditional job search techniques and off-campus recruiting. I immediately thought that the changes in the job search would be a great topic for a podcast, and fortunately, Dean Hubert agreed. Not only did she agree, but she suggested that Doreen Amorosa, Associate Dean and Managing Director, MBA Career Management at Georgetown University, also join us. So that's what we're doing this morning. That's the topic for today's show. We'll also touch on what's new at Georgetown McDonough. Now, if you want a more in-depth look at its MBA program and admissions process, please listen to episode 73 when I interviewed Dean Hubert about its MBA program at the intersection of business and policy. Welcome, Dean Hubert and Dean Amorosa, to Admissions Straight Talk.
Hi, Linda. This is great to be here again.
Yeah, thanks. Hi, Linda.
Hi. It's a pleasure to have you back and to speak with you, Dean Amorosa, for the first time. Okay, so the topic is the changing landscape in terms of MBA recruiting. Dean Amorosa, how has MBA student interest in startups and working for smaller businesses combined with increased off-campus recruiting changed your work as a career services manager and dean?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for the question, Linda. First of all, entrepreneurship continues to gain steam in terms of a direction that our MBA students want to go. We have an entrepreneurship center here, a great initiative, which really teaches our students how to be entrepreneurial, starting a new organization, joining startups, et cetera. We have we take great pride in the fact that the FT has just ranked us 16th in the world and 11th in the United States for entrepreneurship, so it's a focus area here. And, you know, as you can imagine, when students are thinking about going to startups or starting their own businesses, the search is a bit different than what they would encounter going to a large, for instance, financial services or consulting firm. And so we've shifted the way we think about access to employers for our students in quite a significant way, not just because of the entrepreneurial direction, but in general, we're seeing more and more companies that are focusing more and more on off-campus recruitment as a strategy to source students, as opposed to coming on campus, more or less across our different industries.
I saw an article in Wall Street Journal that Goldman Sachs is actually, this is kind of right up there, Goldman Sachs is planning to recruit at least undergraduates entirely off-campus.
Traditionally here at Georgetown, our undergraduates, Goldman Sachs did come for on-campus recruitment. This year, they're basically coming to do an information session, and they're treating us like they're treating all of their other schools for sourcing students, and that's really just applying through their website without any presence from a recruitment perspective, an application perspective on any campuses this year. So I think this is the beginning of a trend that we're going to see. Generally in the financial services community, where Goldman Sachs goes, other companies follow. So right. I see that happening potentially, even in the MBA arena. We do still have Goldman Sachs coming here on campus this year, I'm happy to say.
Right.
But I wouldn't be surprised in the future if this works out for them the way I think it might. And what it does is it gives them a broader access to a great talent base and creates a wider funnel for them in terms of candidates at the undergraduate level. So they can get top talent really from any school. And I suspect we'll see this trend continuing on into the MBA arena.
Okay, we'll actually go back to that a little bit later in the podcast. Now, how has this interest changed what MBA students need to do when searching for internships, first of all? Because that's the first thing they have to do.
Yeah, right, obviously, for full-time students coming into our program. We focus very early on with our students on helping them to get very clear about what direction they want to go. Right, even before they step foot on our campus, we're working with them on helping them to understand what their accomplishments have been, what their value proposition is for getting an MBA, and really thinking through what are their strong skills and suits. And that helps to sort of focus the direction of the internship search. Once they have sort of the career coordinates, and I call that, you know, kind of what industry, what function, what geography pinned down, then we help them think through what are the access channels that are appropriate from an employer perspective to get them to the appropriate internship opportunities. We've gotten very laser-like in looking at how you actually encounter each individual employer that's on your target company list. And that's what makes a difference. You've got to have a good laser focus.
Can you give an example? Like, how would it differ?
Sure. Let's say you're a student and you're thinking about a brand marketing opportunity from an internship perspective, and we will help you sort of think through what your target companies might be, and there are a variety of resources that we provide to help them think through. And then the question becomes, once you have those target companies identified, where are the places that you're going to encounter employers? And how are you going to encounter them? Will it be at a career fair? Will it be an on-campus experience? Will it be a virtual experience? More and more brand management opportunities are being sought after, for instance, through virtual opportunities and through the career fairs.
Virtual opportunities meaning social media or meaning virtual events?
Actually, for the most part, meaning many companies are asking their alumni of different schools to target prospective candidates through alumni outreach.
Oh, okay. All right. So it really is, it's dramatically different.
Yeah.
So let's say the internship is traditionally 3 months and it's likened to a 3-month interview, right? Has that changed?
That's correct.
And then if the student is lucky enough to get an offer, usually they would take it. Sometimes, depending upon the job market, if there was a very good job market, they might shop around more. If it was a weaker job market, they would grab it. Has that changed at all? And are students feeling more free, let's say, to try non-traditional internships, you know, working for startups, working for smaller entities?
Yes, there's some of each happening. I think you're always going to see the traditional path of, you know, achieving that internship that you've dreamt of. You're happy with the company, they're happy with you. You get an offer at the end of the summer, and then you're happy to accept that offer when the time comes in the fall. But I also am seeing students that are taking, paths with smaller companies to kind of get experience that might be broader in terms of scope, as opposed to deep and, you know, sort of deep and narrow, and that helps to round out their experiences, especially if they're looking to switch careers, which many of them are, and so there's some of each, and I think that's going to continue. I think that trend's going to continue.
Yeah, and Linda, this is Sherry. So our entrepreneurship initiative actually, it's called Startup Employers MBA, they actually provide some small stipends to students who want to work at more non-traditional, say, startups or smaller kind of companies that are much more entrepreneurial. So again, we're also trying to think about and provide resources for students to have that much more flexibility and be more open and experimental in kind of how they gain those skills, especially if they're interested in a much more entrepreneurial environment.
I'll add to that we also have a summer incubator that's run each year here on the campus that's run by our entrepreneurship center. And we also have a new program that we've launched last year called Venture Fellows. And these are students who decide to do an internship that runs during the school year, second semester of their first year, then into the summer, and then first semester of their second year, where they're actually working with venture capitalists to get that experience. And that's been amazingly It's something new, and we actually we got a lot of interest in that. It's unique.
It's very unique.
We had a student who was in the Fellows program, and he did so well that he actually got a full-time offer from the venture capital firm he was working with. And so we worked with him to be able to allow him to then transfer over into our part-time program so that he could actually work for them full-time. So again, just really some unique opportunities that our students have that really ultimately the outcome is a great opportunity.
Wow, that was fascinating about the fellowship and just in general about how things are changing. How has increased off-campus recruiting changed how MBA students search for their full-time positions or find their full-time positions? Let's look at the full-time job search now. Again, Dean Amorosa.
Yeah, I think we're seeing a change that's happening and evolving over time. The landscape for recruitment, as it changes at the internship level, is also changing at the full-time level, and I think part of it has to do with companies having travel budgets shrinking, trying to think about how they can use technology from a more innovative perspective. Virtual interviewing has become much more popular because they feel they can actually get at the students that they need to without doing the travel.
It's a fraction of the cost.
At the cost, exactly. Companies are also getting a lot smarter about how they create the candidate pool that they're constructing. And what I mean by that is they're using predictive hiring tools. At the very front end of the hiring process, they will often use assessments. In the past, historically, assessments are used much more as a final selection technique. But now, in terms of really kind of crafting that first look at your first candidate pool, some of them are actually putting processes in place where they can root out, if you will, candidates that are not the right candidates for their positions at the very front end of the process. This is something that Amazon did this year for the first time, where they're actually providing anyone who applies for a position, any MBA who applies for a full-time job there, they will be asked to do a case, they'll be asked to provide a writing sample, and they'll be given a test that's a personality test as part of the application process. So within 24 hours of applying for a job there, you will be given these tests, and that will be part of the screening process as to whether you actually get moved on to the second step. That's not unique. That's happening more and more.
And the innovative part of it is that it's being done first.
That's exactly right.
So essentially what it's doing is it's making not making, is asking the applicant to put in a lot of upfront time before the company does.
That's exactly right. In this case, they're looking at, 90 minutes for one test and 60 minutes for another test.
Yes.
So there's an investment of time and there's actually a time frame with which you've got to respond.
And again, so that's for the larger companies. Obviously, Amazon at this point is huge. Are the smaller entities doing similar things, perhaps not quite the same scale, but
I would say even smaller companies are getting into utilizing case methodologies for their hiring processes, which is something that's a bit new. And that may be a second round interview, it may be a third round interview, but it's not just behavioral interviewing like it used to be for smaller companies. They're getting much more sophisticated.
Right. Okay.
Hey, Linda, I was going to ask Doreen to share a little bit about our Career Conversations, which is a wonderful new platform that her team developed.
Okay.
Yeah, so an important part for your audience, an important part of really gaining the right internship and full-time position is your networking approach and your techniques for networking. And we know informational interviewing is here to stay. It's not going anywhere. And so we launched a platform last year which enables the ability for alumni and students to conduct informational interviews virtually. It's through a conference calling facility. It also gives students here the ability to do informational interviews with each other, to schedule interviews with each other, because we all often like to advocate that as a new student coming into the program, the first people that you want to talk to from an informational perspective may be people who came from the company that you want to go to, or people who in our part-time program might be working at those companies, or people who did internships at those companies that you're looking to go to. So we've tried to think holistically about networking and enable it within the Georgetown, the broader Georgetown MBA community. This facility also allows alumni to network with each other. So it's transactional, and it's a new program that's been successful that we launched last year called Career Conversations.
It sounds like a brilliant idea. it sounds so obvious, but it's a great idea.
I also like that it's a part of the larger Georgetown values, the Jesuit values of caring for the whole person, men and women, and service to others. So you, as someone going on to Career Conversations, you have to say, I'm willing to provide some assistance or service to someone on this conversational platform, social kind of platform. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I'm also willing to get, but also give. Right.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
The easy way to think of it is when you join this platform, the first thing you have to do is offer to help somebody else.
Yeah. That's great. I struck me when I was doing some research on your site, this was already several years ago, that your definition of networking is a form of service. It's giving. It's not taking. And most people, I think of networking the exact opposite.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think I've commented to you on this before also, that it really struck me that, and of course it's true. I mean, that's just fundamental to human relations, is that you need to give first.
Right, right.
Right. Now, I'd like to move forward. Dean Hubert, how has this fluid dynamic job search scene changed what you're seeking in terms of your admissions office, what you're seeking in applicants, if it's had any impact at all?
Yeah, no, it definitely has. So we poll our applicants every time they apply to see, how many, what's the purpose of your interest in pursuing your MBA? Is it because you want to enhance your career? Do you want to start it up, or do you want to switch? And this year, interestingly, the data is still not totally set, but we're seeing this incoming class, 25% of them call themselves career enhancers, and about 64% would consider themselves career switchers. And so the more changes we try and counsel our applicants, the more changes you're trying to make, the more challenging it will be. So you really have to think about how prepared you are and make sure that you're realistic, but also that you're doing the things that you need to do to demonstrate preparedness. And we think about this, if you're a double switcher, triple switcher, you could even be a quadruple switcher if you're switching industry, function, geography, and language, right? You think about our international students. Some of them are our areas, right?
Yeah.
And so it's really incumbent on that applicant to understand their strengths, of course, always understand what you're passionate about and always go forward in terms of trying to pursue your dreams, but also be realistic and know what you have to do in order to be prepared if you want to, cut across those four types of changes and switches. And what we find from millennials is that they're much more open to being flexible in terms of the career trajectory, the timing of landing kind of that quote-unquote dream job. They're interested in experimenting more with different kinds of opportunities. They understand that, perhaps the job that they get directly out of business school may not be the job, or of course won't be the job that they end up with, in 10, 20, maybe even 5 years, right, from graduating. But what we counsel them is to still have a point of view as to what is it that they're, where their strengths lie, what skills are transferable, emphasizing this on their resume and their essays, but really making sure that it's really clear what their short and long-term goals are, even though they know they're going to be flexible, and we understand that, that things change.
Right. Okay. So you're looking for, I guess, more flexibility or more realism combined with dreams and aspirations. Can I summarize it that way?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And preparedness. Preparedness.
Yes, of course. Now, what should applicants who see themselves pursuing a non-traditional path post-MBA do before they arrive on campus to prepare themselves for a successful job search? And this is for both of you.
Yeah, it's Doreen. I guess I'll take that one to start. Well, actually, I don't think that they should do anything any differently than anybody who's looking for a traditional path. We offer, as I mentioned briefly before, we offer three webinar series in June for all of our incoming students. And, you know, those are meant to help you document your accomplishments to really kind of, and those accomplishments become the basis for your stories as you're starting to think about looking for an internship or a full-time job. Mm-hmm. Accomplishments record is an important part of that. We have them do a career inventory, which is really a series of questions that helps you to sort of think about, what am I good at? What do I like to do? If I had to do it all day, what do I like to do? What do I not like to do? We have them sit down and really think and reflect and discern on what their value proposition is. In other words, what am I going to do with my MBA? And obviously we have them complete their resume before they even step foot on campus, so that when they get here, they do have an informed view of what direction they want to go. That we have industry guides, we have functional guides, we have a tremendous resource library for them, so that as they start to do this inspection, whether you're going down a non-traditional path or a traditional path, you know what you're getting into, you know which employers are appropriate for you, and you have a sense as to how to approach your internship search. So my advice to anybody who's thinking about coming to business school is to do that work up front so that you do have an informed point of view when you walk in the door.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I'm a big believer in starting your admissions process with where you want to end up.
Interesting. We keep using the term kind of non-traditional path, but I feel like that's not even the case anymore, right? So many students pursuing their MBA mm-hmm. are pursuing them from, you know, coming from all different kinds of backgrounds and interested in all different kinds of backgrounds. So no longer are these quote-unquote non-traditional really non-traditional. They're much more traditional now.
Yeah, there was a time, if you think about it, that the technology sector was non-traditional.
Right.
And it's become much mainstream, I think everybody would agree, in the last 5 or 10 years. So, yeah, the landscape is shifting a little bit.
Yeah.
And I almost think the word non-traditional is obsolete.
Absolutely.
I think it is. And I try and counsel applicants and prospects who consider themselves, quote-unquote, non-traditional to not do so. Right, because I think it diminishes, you know, kind of their ability to really put themselves in the right light, in the framework, and to think about how competitive they actually are. I think it discounts, they feel a little bit more discounted when they think about themselves being non-traditional, whereas if they didn't think about that, they don't discount that kind of as much. So I like to say, hey, everyone, it's traditional now, right? We take just as many humanities in liberal arts as we do kind of business and economics. So don't think of your degree and major as being non-traditional if you don't happen to be a business or economics major anymore.
Well, not only that, it can be a tremendous strength. It's funny, Forte has its MBA launch program. I'm sure you're familiar with it. And when they have their event in LA, they've asked me to come and, I guess, lead a panel or whatever. And one year they asked me to do it on non-traditional applicants, and I loved it because I promptly went through every single person I talked to, and it was one of these things where you move to different tables, like you're at a table for 10 minutes. So I might have talked to 30 or 40 people in that period, and I think by the time I was done, none of them were non-traditional. They were all. It was a lot of fun. And the second year I went back, I said, please give me the same topic. I had a great time. So there was no prep. In fact, the second time there was an admissions director from USC at the event. I'd never met her before. I didn't know I was going to be doing it with somebody else. She didn't know me. And we just kind of played off each other. I've never done improv, but it was as close as I've ever done to doing improv, because we were just so much in sync that a non-traditional is a misnomer, even though I've been using it throughout this podcast, and it can be a tremendous strength. And it was really funny for me to have this interaction with this person I never knew, but we were coming at it from different angles with the same conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to that Wall Street Journal article about Goldman Sachs and what it's doing. And as you said, what Goldman Sachs does kind of carries weight. Now, the Wall Street Journal article said that Goldman Sachs wanted to cast a wider net, which was the point that you made, Dean Amorosa. But it also said that it wants to recruit people who are more committed both to finance as a career and to Goldman Sachs as a company, and its grueling hours for that matter. Whereas many graduates of the universities where it has been recruiting, certainly very bright, talented people, they view it more as a two-year boot camp. And they're out of there as soon as they can get out of there. So that was kind of one interesting aspect of that article. And again, it was relating specifically to the undergrads, but I know you think it's mm-hmm. gonna be used more and more. Do you see management consulting firms going to that model?
I think potentially it could happen. I'm sure they'll adapt it to, you know, I mean, they're obviously the case methodology is so important with the consulting firms. So they'd have to sort of think through how that interaction would work. But I think, you know, as I said, I think this is something that, you know, is the tip of the iceberg, frankly. And I think that it actually, you know, is a good thing, to be honest with you, because it from a as a former corporate recruiter, I understand the challenges that corporations have in terms of really ensuring that they're getting top talent. By taking this approach, talent can find Goldman Sachs from anywhere. Right. You don't need to be a core school. You don't need to be from a core school in order to be considered as a candidate. So it levels the playing field. If you think about MBA programs, smaller MBA programs like ours will actually benefit because we may not be a core school with some companies, and our students will have equal access going forward where they might not have before because of the core school policy.
Right.
So I think that this is just the next, you know, technology disruption that happens in recruitment every so often, and everybody will, I think everybody will eventually align. It just makes perfect sense. And the technology is now strong enough and is progressed enough to help support recruitment in a much, much more, a broader way.
What other technology disruptions do you kind of see coming down the pike?
I think this notion of predictive hiring is going to gain a lot of steam. You know, this is there are companies out there.
What is predictive hiring?
So assessment tools that are part of the selection process, and utilizing them earlier in the recruitment process than they have before, will help companies to arrive at a point where they understand who the best candidates are. Based on whatever criteria they choose, and it takes some of the subjectivity out of the process for them, which I think they're always looking for. They're always looking to be more objective. And when you talk about, you know, are you bringing the right skill set? Are you bringing the right approach? When you think about working in investment banking specifically, you know, are you ready to really understand what it means to be in investment banking? There are ways that tools can get at that and get the answers to those questions, perhaps in ways that humans can't. So I think we're going to see more and more of that.
Okay, let's turn to Georgetown McDonough for a moment. Dean Hubert, what's new at Georgetown, and specifically what's new in admissions for wannabe MBAs at Georgetown?
Sure. I think I'll start with what's new in admissions, since many of your listeners are folks kind of thinking about applying to business school. And I would say the two biggest things are we have a new essay prompt, and we also have added in a video. So the new essay, we've reduced the essay count from 750 words to 500 words. And the essay is, and you, Linda, are kind of, this is the first time we've announced our new essay prompt. So on your show is the first time. What matters to you?
Thank you.
My pleasure. What matters to you? ? Please share an experience from your past that illustrates why this matters to you and how it will enable you to contribute during your MBA program. Note, this does not necessarily need to be related to your professional goals. And so what we're trying to get at that is, you know, in many ways, last year the question was why you, very open-ended. We know people like it. Some people didn't. We still like this kind of open-ended question, but we thought we'd at least, you know, to have folks target a little bit more towards, you know, what are they going to contribute when they come here? How will they show up? What's important to them? And not just broadly speaking, but as it relates to their ability to contribute to the MBA program. You know, we you know, we wanted to give people flexibility in how to answer that question. We didn't want them to just think about it from a professional perspective, because we know that people come to business school, they grow and they develop and they transform in ways that are beyond just, you know, the professional perspective. So we wanted to, you know, have them be specific and be able to, you know, back up and justify what matters to them. So they have to give a, you know, illustrate a specific example from their past. But we also wanted it to signal, okay, based on what's important to me and the reasons why, this is what I think I can do above and beyond just coming in and sitting in class and, you know, getting the learning, right? What am I going to contribute back? And that's really tied into our ethos at Georgetown in terms of, again, our Jesuit values, care of personnel, of caring for the whole person, women and men in service to others. We needed a way to be able to, in a concrete, you know, sense, understand how is someone going to give back to this program, and at the same time grow and develop from it, right? So it's not right. Just about what I'm going to make from a learning perspective. It's about what am I also going to give? I call it this generosity of spirit, and we needed a better way to assess generosity of spirit.
As you were talking, I was thinking it related back to the career conversations and the importance of giving. And I mean, it's very consistent. And I love saying that, but it ties together beautifully.
Thank you. Great. The second thing that we added was a video. It's a 1-minute video, and it just allows them to introduce themselves to their classmates. And again, we needed a, you know, more dynamic, three-dimensional way of assessing candidates and getting a truer feel for who they were, not just on paper, not just, you know, based on the, you know, the documents that they submit. We hear from them in their voice of the essay, but we also wanted to really get a sense and see them and hear them live. And it also will help us in terms of, again, better understanding how might they show up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's equally important, not just to me and my team, but also to Doreen and her team, right?
Right.
We want to make sure that we're setting them up for success, that we're able to support them through their journey, not just academically, but also as they embark upon their career searches. And all of this helps us get a sense for, okay, do they have what it takes coming in so that we then can help develop them and get them to where they're trying to get to ultimately.
Well, basically, you're kind of doing what Goldman Sachs is doing with its videos.
Right.
And before you invite them to interview, you're going to see if they have presence and they're articulate and that kind of stuff. By the way, the article that I mentioned, we're going to link to from the show notes at exhibit.com/164.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You had also asked about what's kind of new at Georgetown,
yes.
Generally speaking.
Yes.
A couple of things. So again, along these lines of really, you know, this notion of community, our student services department, we call it the program office, MBA program office, is really committed and dedicated to supporting families, so MBAs with families. Again, you know, when we look at our millennial, population, we're finding that, you know, less are they likely to put their lives on hold, right? So they want it all, and they want it all now. And so we're finding, interestingly, last year, over the past 2 years, we've had 30 babies born to MBAs across both our full-time and our part-time programs.
Congratulations.
So exactly. It's a part of our kind of ethos in terms of caring for the whole person. Such that the school has said, okay, how can we support MBAs with families? We want to encourage more of them to apply to our program, and then we want to make sure that they feel supported. And one of those ways is we have what we call the McDonough Cup Challenge, which is an annual challenge of MBA students. And it's basically the full-time program cohorts compared, versus the part-time program cohorts. And they do all kinds of, you know, challenges, field games, grill-off, fundraising activities. It's kind of an end-of-year annual tradition. Well, this year, we developed a McDonough Sippy Cup Challenge. And it was specifically for our families, MBAs with families. And it was really great. So that all the MBAs with children and their partners and spouses came together, and we had, you know, games for the kids and drawings and balloons and face painting, and we even had little branded sippy cups for the babies that they could take home as souvenirs. It was just a really wonderful family experience. Again, really wanting to make sure that we created activities and events from a social perspective that included our MBAs who have families, right, included MBAs who have partners and spouses. We invite all of our partners and spouses to our welcome weekends. We have family events during the orientation of our incoming classes. The Career Services Center has a great program called the Partners Program, and Doreen can talk about it, but it provides some great career support for...
Yeah, for anyone who's moving to Washington, D.C. and is bringing a partner or a spouse who wants to look for a job, we'll provide mm-hmm. them with some job support.
That's great.
That's something obviously we know how to do, and a handful of them take us up on it, and they really appreciate the support from a career perspective.
Yep. We have a mother's room for women. We have a partners club. So again, really trying to think about this, the experience that a student has. You know, they're here with their academics, but they don't leave their social and their personal life behind, right? They bring all of that with them. They're going through this 2-year journey or this 3-year journey. And so we really want to be supportive, not, again, caring for the whole person, right? That's part of our Jesuit values.
Right. Now, just to go back, certainly the family support is wonderful at Georgetown, and again, it does tie very much to your values. Let's go back to the video for 1 minute. Are the students expected to prepare it ahead of time and then upload or link to a file, or are they going to be responding to a question?
Yeah, so it's going to be in the application, and it's just, you know, introduce yourself, and they can upload any link.
Okay.
So it can't be a file, but it can be any link. They need to keep that link active for at least 5 years from a record retention perspective, but it could come from Vimeo, it could come from YouTube. It shouldn't come from Snapchat because those things go away.
Disappear, yeah.
Any video site where they could upload a link.
Mm-hmm. All right. And so it's something that they prepare. Now, I know a lot of students will, you know, they're going to be concerned that they're not videographers.
Correct, yeah. I mean, we're not looking for professional videos, right? We're looking for, they can do it from their phone. As long as their phone, they can then, you know, upload it to an actual link, like a YouTube or video. So we understand that. We're trying to get a sense from the student of who they are in their own words, lives.
Right. I saw recently that McDonough has just launched a new 1-year master's program in international business and policy. Dean Hubert, can you tell us a little about that particular program, that brand new program?
Sure, happy to. So it is, Linda, a 1-year master's for working professionals, and it's part of the executive education program suite. It has 6 modules that are 1 week long. Two of the modules are online, and 2 are overseas. Hmm. In addition, the students have to fulfill and complete a social action project as a team-based project that examines an issue that's either local or global in terms of significance. And it's for working professionals, a minimum of 5 years of experience. It is a Master's of Arts. And the great thing is it's a partnership between both the School of Foreign Service and the McDonough School of Business, right? So they get some great access to really great professors. I think that program coupled with the opportunity to, you know, pursue your MBA, which provides a lot of additional types of kind of access to, you know, both business and policy, really demonstrates and shows Georgetown's strength mm-hmm. in both policy and access by virtue of being in Washington, D.C., right? So we want to make sure that regardless of whether or not you pursue your, master's in arts or your MBA, that we have something that you can, take advantage of that allows you to grow and develop and have a greater understanding of the power that comes from being the nexus of both business and policy. Within our MBA program, it's interesting, we have a non-market strategy, new certificate. I'm not certain if you've heard of it or not.
Yeah.
It's called the Non-Market Strategy Certificate. It's one of the newest academic certificates. So if you're familiar with the International Business Diplomacy Certificate that mm-hmm. MBAs can get in conjunction with the School of Foreign Service, this Non-Market Strategy Certificate is housed within the McDonough School of Business. And basically it takes, the best of what DC has to offer, both inside as well as outside the classroom, and enhances our students' knowledge of issues that are at the nexus between business and policy, so they have a better sense of how the social, the political, the environmental factors influence corporate strategy on the one hand, but also business decisions. And we just welcomed the first cohort this past fall, and there'll be a new cohort that will start this fall.
So it's called non-market because it doesn't have to do with the marketplace. It has to do with the other factors.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Okay. Fascinating. I did not know about that. That's a great option to know about. For each of you, do you have any advice for applicants getting ready to apply? Dean Amorosa, do you want to start that?
Yes, I've said this to every prospective student that I've ever talked to. Please think about your career direction early and often. Do your homework. Think clearly and be able to articulate your point of view. It's as part of your application process. I'm part of the admissions committee, and I take a look at what you say you're going to do with your MBA. And the better clarity you can provide in the application, and if I can see a thread that pulls from your past experience and takes you to your where you want to get in your future, then I'm going to give the thumbs up from my perspective, because you've got to have a coherent story that will take you through to being successful in your internship and your full-time searches. So be clear, be articulate, and have a coherent story.
Okay. Dean Hubert?
I would say that considering that the quality of education that one can get at any of these top 30 business schools is going to be pretty similar, I would really encourage applicants to consider fit of the program, the format of the program, and then their financial kind of situation, right? Being prepared financially to take on the investment. And it's absolutely worth that investment in terms of return on the investment. But, it is becoming more and more, something of importance in terms of thinking about how am I going to financially afford the MBA. And we understand that. We absolutely empathize with students in terms of the investment that they're making. So at the end of the day, I would say to students, kind of know yourself, get to know us, and then be true to yourself at the end of the day, right? Because for the most part, the academic experience will be quite similar at very competitive schools with all the other aspects of the program that really provide that level of value and return on investment that you're going to be looking for.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Thank you, Dean Hubert. Thank you, Dean Amorosa. I really appreciate you coming on.
Great. Thanks so much, Linda.
Thank you. It was
a
pleasure.
And let me also thank our listeners for joining us. Thank you very much for taking the time to be here for this Admissions Straight Talks 164th episode. If you find this show worthwhile and have friends applying to MBA programs or perhaps interested in Georgetown's new Master's International Business and Policy, please feel free to tell them about the show. Again, the URL where they can find it is accepted.com/164. This is Admissions Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk with you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.